All right, Shisha, so let's see if any of these apply to you, okay? You've done the therapy, you've read the books, but you have yet to dip your toe into the somatic healing pond. You still find yourself having reactions that are out of proportion to the situation at hand. You live in a constant low-grade state of hypervigilance, like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Or you're on the opposite end, you're checked out, disconnected, floating through life like your head is a completely separate entity from the rest of your body. You live in chronic tension, your shoulders are up to your ears like mine, or your jaws clenched, hips tight, lower back pain. Or you deal with digestive issues, or you're constantly tired in a way that sleep just doesn't seem to fix. And last but not least, you're craving a place to heal with other cool people where you can just show up as your whole messy self and be accepted for it. So if any of those applied to you, and let's get real, shit shows, at least one of those applied to you, it's time that you sign the hell up for Breathe to Heal. This 7-week journey kicks off on Tuesday, January 13th. It's led by Teresa, fellow Shit Show member and somatic and breathwork practitioner, and it combines the 3 modalities that literally helped me thaw out of functional freeze and start moving my life in the direction I actually wanted. Breath work, somatic practices, and parts work. This is a steal compared to other somatic programs out there with 2 and 3 month payment options to make it more accessible. So yes, you, let's do the damn thing already. Head to adultchildpodcast.com/breathe to heal. That is breathe with an E at the end, adultchildpodcast.com/breathe to heal to get your damn spot and thank me later.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Shit. Welcome back to Shit Show Saturday, folks. Well, we made it through the holidays, like for the most part, right? We still have New Year's, but we made it, okay? Let's give ourselves a big pat on the back. If we still got a pulse, folks, we still got a pulse, that is a win. I recorded our group last night, our Christmas debrief group, but something happened with the recording. I can't get Zoom to convert it. So you're just going to have to listen to us talk about Christmas from last year, okay? So here's a Shit Show Community Christmas 2024 debrief. You can just pretend like it's 2025. Thanks, love you all.
All living souls, welcome whatsoever they are ready to cope with. George Santayana. So often, a problem would be overwhelming if we had to solve it all at once. We can allow ourselves to dwell on only small pieces of the problem at one time. Then when we come to terms with one part, another portion can be dealt with. Whether we are facing the death of a loved one or having to cope with other personal problems, our minds help us sort out the order in which we can best handle our pain. Sometimes we insist on tackling all of the problem and we think ourselves into kind of a numbness. We're unable to act. At those times, perhaps we can remind ourselves of how our mind works best. If we do, we can let go of the whole situation and instead take on only the small part we're strong enough to handle. Today, I will let go of all I'm trying to cope with. I will pick 1 or 2 small positive things I can do. Then I will do them.
Really can relate to this reading. Sometimes I just feel like, as much healing as I've done, I still sometimes feel like there's so much more, and how the hell am I going to do this? Like, how the hell am I going to, like, quote unquote, be happy or have the life that I want? And it's like, one step at a time, girl, can we just get through today? We don't have to solve the world today, one bite at a time.
I'll just briefly share about my Christmas. I went over to my parents. I texted my mom around like 11:30 or so and told her that I was showering and it'd be over. And I kind of like to dilly-dally and take my time. So like 2 hours later, I get a text from both of them at the same time. And it was like, where are you? And are you coming over? And then I was like, oh no, I'm not doing this.
You know, like, I'm like, am I already getting attitude? So then I called up my mom and I was like, is there an issue? And she didn't realize that my dad had texted me at the same time, but I was like, I'm not fucking walking in there if they're already having an issue with me. And I went over there and it was fine. And we just watched football and had small talk and it was fine. And then we went to dinner. And the only thing was neither one of them had been drinking. The only thing that happened was my dad, well, there are two things. My dad, like when we first sat down, he was like, do you mind if I have a drink? And I was like, yeah, that's totally inappropriate. It's like, here's my mom sitting here with a fucking sling on her arm from falling on Thanksgiving after dinner that I didn't go to because she was drinking. And then here you are talking about your doctor's appointments for tomorrow because you've been having all these stomach issues for like years. And want to blame it on long-term like aspirin use instead of like acknowledging that drinking might have a part of it. And then here's me, like the host of the podcast, Adult Child. No, it's not appropriate to have a drink. So I recently watched a podcast interview with, I don't know if you guys have heard about this book. It's called A Case for Christ. And basically, it's about this guy who he was the legal editor for the Chicago Tribune and a hardcore atheist. And I guess his wife was agnostic and she became Christian. And he could not handle that. And so he like set out on this mission to prove to her that Jesus was just a bunch of crap. And he traveled the world and looked at manuscripts and did all this sorts of research. And through that journey, ended up becoming a Christian. I think now he's a pastor. And so I was like telling my dad that. And then he goes, like, that's the book. Like, because when we were in Tahoe and I lost it on him, was like I sat down and he goes, yeah, I got you this book. And I go, yeah, I got you this book. It's called The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. And that like started my rant. And then it was so funny because he was like, yeah, that's the book that I was going to tell you about before you went up on me. So that was kind of like a funny moment, a wink and a nudge. So yeah, it was fine. And then I had a really great IFS session this morning and really connected with that part of me, that middle schooler who had no friends and carried so much shame. And in particular, there was this one night where I was going to sneak out to see my boyfriend and my mom came in my room and like saw that I was like getting ready. Like, you know, it's like 11, and she like knew that, you know, I was gonna sneak out. And then she left. And then I still decided to sneak out anyways. I went out my bathroom window of in my bedroom on the second floor. There was no way for me to get back into the house. And that just shows the level of impulsivity and just the need to like not feel. I have to get out this window. I have to get out this window. I have to get to him. I was able to have a moment with her, speaking with both of my parents and saying, like, I'm not the problem here. The reason that I'm having to do this is because instead of addressing your problems, you've made it about me. And I've been in so much pain. And now I'm acting out promiscuously. I'm drinking and using drugs because you guys won't look at your shit, you know, and I'm not the problem. And so it was a really good experience. So the floor is open for you to talk about whatever you'd like to share.
Thank you for posting that yesterday, because it truly did. I was sitting, you know, in my ex-mother-in-law's living room. You know, you could tell just with everything that's happened this year between the kid's mom and I, like, just wasn't supposed to be there. My family, we did Christmas last week, did everything we were supposed to do. And so they're like, hey, do you help mind, you know, taking the presents over? And I said, yeah. And then I was like, gonna leave. She's like, well, no, stay. And so I was like, the kids like start divvying them out. There's just piles of presents everywhere. And my youngest is looking at me going, Dad, where's your presents? And I was like, sitting in front of me. You know, I was like, I get to watch y'all. It's fine. But then as I sat there, I was like, I thought about it. The day before, her older sister had slid me a gift at the front door when I dropped the kids' stuff off while they were hanging out. You know, she didn't know, like she wasn't, like they weren't supposed to get me a gift or something, you know, and it felt really shitty. And so, like, at just one point, I was like, that's why I was like, fuck, I can go home. I don't have to sit here. And I did. I used every tool, every tool. Holidays have been so dysfunctional. And I slid out and I went home and then I didn't answer the phone. I didn't answer the text messages. Today I fucked up. And she had left me a text message going, "Hey," I just told her, I was like, "I'm feeling really off. I just need to go, you know." And she's like, "Well, if you're sick, whatever, let me know. Please tell me if there's anything I can do." Made it sound like she really cared. So this morning I thought about it. I meditated and I was like, "You know what? I'm gonna just let her know. Hey, I was okay. I was feeling really overwhelmed. I was like, it's been a rough year." And it just opened the floodgates to just be raked over fucking burnt coals. So lesson learned. Some people are not gonna change. I can utilize the tools that I have and not have to sit in that fucking dysfunction anymore. That's big. Years past would have been, write it out, stick it out, say something ugly, or, just whatever it would have been that would have triggered a situation. It's just always been rough. So, thank you guys. This year has been really phenomenal in growth and seeing it across the board. Like, we're all talking our shit out now. We're not just sitting in panic. We're reaching out for help. So, the community is doing what it's supposed to be doing, and I'm eternally grateful for y'all. It has been rough the last 2 days, sitting in my fucking head. Like, it's silence, it's the holidays, but then I can read on the message board, I can reach out to people, and these are all things that we've learned here, and in our therapy modalities and in our real life. And so, like I said, really grateful. Looking forward to this new year. There's going to be a lot of changes, and at some point, I'm pretty sure I'll have a fucking breakdown, and I'm going to need help. So I'm glad that we're here, and I'm glad that this is like a growing community, man. Like, every new person that comes in just adds to it, and yeah, that's what it is, man.
Thank God we don't all go crazy on the same day. The one thing I'll just share before Sam shares is what you're talking about. I was having a conversation with somebody earlier about just how, like, when we're struggling and we're just keeping it in our head, there's something really powerful that happens when the words come out of our mouth and we share it with another person, just from the pers not even just like to let somebody know, but I think even hearing ourselves say it out loud, I think often allows for an opportunity of clarity. Like when it's just going on up here, it's really a really distorted perception. But like when it comes out of our mouths, I think that in itself shines a light on, the situation. Go ahead, Sam.
Hello, everybody. I have had a really, I guess, kind of tuned in Christmas, I would say. Yesterday, I hosted my mom and my sister's friend at my house, and they were 3 hours late because they decided to stay up until 5 o'clock in the morning, as one does. And I didn't stress about it. I took a nap and just kind of let the day come as it came as it come. Come as it came. Today we had extended family stuff with my mom's family, which, as I mentioned before, it's kind of all centered around my grandmother now, who has dementia, and her lucid hours. And it was, I guess, there wasn't a lot to cloud my mind during the day, and it was really nice to just notice how, in the thick of her being in a decline, it's really softened up a lot of my family, and that we all, I think we're all really affected by it because it is, she's been such a strong, like, independent character in our lives that we're all feeling it. And even people that weren't showing it before are showing it in ways that are, like, really kind of true to them. And so it felt just more than it has in a really long time. Like, I was connected with them and, like, we were all in it together. We watched another home movie from before I was born. I was actually, my mom was pregnant with me from Christmas of 1989. And it was like a really big extended family thing, from when my great grandmother was still alive. And just watching that was really interesting because my extended family on my mom's side, the story basically goes is by the time I was about five, my dad had pretty much disconnected us from all those people. And we were very isolated. But they used to get together and have all these big blowouts, and everyone was just really silly There was a lot of singing, like people around the piano, and just a lot of fun. And so it was really nice to like see that side of my family and like recognize that part of myself that I have that just felt like it was its own thing, to see kind of where it comes from and to feel connected to that. But other than that, it was just a nice time. Everybody was really, I think the warmth was being felt. We were all really happy to see each other. Somebody gave my grandmother a pair of Skechers memory foam shoes, and I said that's really rude, which is a dementia joke. And yeah, it was nice. Aside from that, what else? Oh, there weren't a lot of gifts this year, but my mom surprised me with this quilt that she made out of all my t-shirts from college when I was in band and like my fraternity. So that was a surprise. It caught me completely off guard, and I was really grateful for that. And I think just the fact that like gifts were not even a thought this year helped me to really be present with kind of the things that were going on. And it was just really, it felt like a good time. It felt like I could feel the growth in myself. I could feel my walls down a little more than they usually are. And aside from eating way too much junk food the last couple of days, like it's a good holiday, not too much damage. So happy to be able to join on a Thursday and glad you're all here. Thank you.
All right, the folks voted Christmas debrief, so debrief.
I'll debrief. Lisa's debrief.
Lisa's doing the heal. Lisa's healing.
Lisa's healing. So I'll start with I had a wonderful time with my kids, and we didn't go crazy with gifts this year, which was really nice. Something happened. I put it in the chat. Some people might have read it. I don't know who may or may not have, and I hate to have to start from the beginning, but I sort of do. So many people know that I got back with the guy, my boyfriend, about 5 months ago. We had been dating for like over 2 years, and it's been going really well. And a lot of the reason it's been going really well is because I'm really able to look at myself, and I'm able to just look at things with a clearer set of eyes and perspective. But something happened that just really threw me for a loop on I found out about a Christmas, and I found out, all right, my Jerry has an ex-wife of many years, and he's got two adult children and grandchildren, and they share, and they're all, they're close. He's close with the ex-wife as well. And I don't have that experience, so I think that's part of what bothers me as well. Like my ex-husband is dead. He passed away. And a lot of the things that like he has with them, like I could have maybe, but I don't because he's not here. But I'm gonna just get to what happened was that Jerry had come into some money a few months ago, and he was very generous around the holidays, and he gave people money. And one of the people that he gave money to, he gave his ex-wife $500. Now, he gave me money, he gave his kids money. I'm so taken back. I don't think I'm so taken back by the fact that he gave this woman the money. I think I'm more taken back with the fact, and I'm still in a place of trying to sort it all out. But I think I'm more upset about the fact that he didn't tell me until after he did it, and then sort of asked me what like I thought about it or what my opinion was. And I'm like, well, why would you ask me now? And I really had to hold back from saying anything. So what I'm learning through this process, because this just happened, right? And I like yesterday was a bad day. Today I felt better earlier, and I'm starting to feel a little riled up again because he's texting me, and I know we're going to talk, and I don't think this is a good time for me to bring it up because I'm not sure how to handle the situation. Because what I'm doing is, and this is what I know I do, is I'm focusing a lot on like his motives, why he did what he did. Like I'm looking at him, and I'm like trying to diagnose him as codependent and wanting to be liked by everyone. Like I'm putting all my focus on that to sort of try to like have this make sense in my head. But the reality is that I just don't like it. And it makes me feel like I'm not special. And it makes me feel like I don't want to be in the same, I want to be like here, not up there with everyone. Like, I want to be somebody special. I want you to show me you love me. I want to feel loved by you. And I want to know that you love me more than anybody else. And these are all these like very sad little girl feelings that I have, right? And I've said this before where I'm not going to get, these are feelings and wounds that are not going to get filled by like a man, right? But it's really hard for me to be vulnerable and trust, because opening up and being honest about how it makes me feel when I'm not even sure yet how it makes me feel, but just like showing the hurt and showing the feelings and the pain are just going to put me in a position where I feel like I'm going to be disappointed again. And I also know, listen to that podcast finally, like in the whole, you know, the in its entirety, the self-sabotaging. And like, I always go for avoidant personalities. I always go for the avoidant. And they talked about the triangle in there. She was talking about the triangle. And I always, always end up in relationships with someone where I have to compete for their attention with another person, whether it's an ex, kids, a mother, like his mom. I hate to say this, his mom, 103 years old, she finally died. I didn't have to compete for her fucking attention anymore. And now, like, I feel like I'm competing for the ex-wife's attention. This is so fucking crazy. I'm not, at least I know that just because he does that for her doesn't mean he doesn't care for me. Like, I can see that they're two separate things, right? But it really has me tripped up, because I don't want to always feel like I'm in a triangle. And I know this is like a little girl feeling of just wanting to be like the only one and know that I'm everything. And it's really painful. I'm having a hard time with it. And I'm going to wait to talk to my therapist before I talk to him. But I know I need to set boundaries for my own self, but I don't know what they are, because a lot of what I want, I think, is, I don't want to say unrealistic, but it's like my little girl. It's the little girl wanting something. So that's all I have. Thanks for listening to me.
Well, I can certainly relate to that, Lisa. I've been married for 20, going on 27 years. And my husband prioritized me when I met him. And that's exactly what I wanted. I wanted to know what it felt like to be a priority to someone, particularly a guy. And gosh, I was so very lucky until I learned from my stepsons that they weren't a priority to my husband. I never thought of that. I was just only aware of my own need. And then on the flip side, I have a relationship with one of my father's former girlfriends. And sometimes it's hard to spend time with her, because sometimes she'll talk about times that she spent with my father and I don't say it, but in my head, I'm like, really? Like, wow, he went here with you and he went there with you and he had four kids that were spent a lot of time wondering, where's daddy? It's so complicated. So we have these needs, right? This little girl, and it matters and it's real, but it feels like shit. And we could easily, well, I certainly can beat myself up for not having thought about what was I thinking when my husband was spending time with me and I knew that he had two young sons and he was with me most nights, right? What was I thinking? I wasn't supposed to be thinking about them, right? I wasn't supposed to be. But then when I learned that, like, my youngest stepson says, you know, soccer was my life, Kelly, and I can count on one hand how many times he came to a game and watched me play. And I can relate, like my little girl can relate to him when he says that. Like, I get it. But there's nothing anyone can do about that now, right? And he's got to work that out with his dad. And so, damn, it's just the way these dynamics unfold, right? Generation to generation, it's just so much we experience. And we can't do a whole lot to change how we feel about it or to change the direction of it. It's just going to unfold the way it's going to unfold. And we're going to learn what we learn, right? You realize we didn't know that for how long before, and we weren't supposed to. So I'm glad you shared it because it weighs on me, this little girl in me who still wants. I wanted my husband to speak up on my behalf when my family of origin was ganging up on me. But really, it's not me. It's the little girl in me is still longing for someone to step in and defend her, right? And advocate for her because she didn't have a voice. And so there's that. But then there's this, right? There are times, even me as an adult now, well, I don't know about today, they're not in my life, but would I stand up for myself? Would I find my voice and say something? Or would I be silent and just quietly hope that maybe my husband says something, you know? I don't know. It's just that little girl is there, and sometimes I just don't know what to do for her because I'm still so blended with her. But you sharing that kind of helped give me the courage to share. So thank you at your expense, I think.
Does anyone really know what hormones do? Like, there's so much talk around women's hormonal health, but most women are left even more confused about what it means for them and what the hell to do about that. So shit shows, let's leave this confusion behind as we head into the holiday season, shall we? Hormone Harmony is a game changer for women struggling with hormonal imbalances that leave them exhausted both physically and mentally. It only contains science-based ingredients that bring back comfort, energy, clarity, confidence, and a sense of balance. Perfect for enjoying the holidays and heading into the new year energized. And Happy Mammoth, the company that produces Hormone Harmony, is famous for its zero compromise policy. No GMOs, artificial fillers or flavor or any other junk. Only science-backed ingredients in amounts that are clinically proven. So this holiday season, give yourself or the woman in your life the gift of wellness. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code adultchild at checkout. That is happymammoth.com, code adultchild for 15% off today. All right, shit shows, did you know that iron deficiency is one of the most common nutritional gaps? It affects 1 in 3 adults, and especially women. It often shows up as fatigue, brain fog, weakness, brittle nails, but the problem is that most people don't realize that low iron may be the cause of these issues. That's why I'm here to tell you about Siderol from Pharma Nutra. This is a premium iron supplement powered by patented sucrosomial technology, which helps your body absorb 3 to 4 times more iron while also avoiding the common side effects of traditional iron supplements like nausea, constipation, and all that fun stuff. It is clinically proven to be comparable to IV iron and is formulated with just 2 ingredients, iron and vitamin C. It's vegan, allergen-free, gluten-free. You can take it anytime, anywhere. So if you are that 1 out of 3 with an iron deficiency, head to pharmanutra-us.com and use code adultchild for 10% off your first order. That is pharmanutra-us.com. Promo code adultchild for 10% off today.
This isn't just a game. It's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to HarlemGlobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Merry Christmas. My name's Mike, and I belong here. And my Christmas was like 98% amazing and was really good. However, that 2%, as we all know in this room, with family dysfunction, can be real, real shitty. I was avoiding, crazy, I know. We see patterns in recovery, and this is a pattern of mine, avoiding not calling my mom because I know it's probably not going to go well. And it's really hard because a lot of times we're right and it went awful. And it was 45 minutes continuous of her sobbing uncontrollably about how she doesn't know me anymore. I've betrayed the family. My father's distraught because I don't have a relationship with him. My older brother, Steve, is mentally handicapped. But mostly my mom. And it totally triggers that emotional trauma from childhood of just getting quiet and trying to defend yourself. But I did see small amounts of growth where I pushed back. But also part of me is like, what's the fucking point of pushing back? She's not gonna change. I even shared at an in-person meeting last night, which, as you all know, this past year has not been easy for me. It has been very hard. And in the conversation, I kept trying to pull back and come to my center of what she's saying and trying desperately hard to listen to what my higher power, Michael, says about me, that's not true. But it's really hard when your mom, your birth giver, your fucking mom is saying these things about you. And she's just trying to be honest. She's just trying to tell me how she feels. And the fight that we had back in May will never die. It will never go away. It will always be there. I've had multiple conversations like this in life that she will never be able to put to rest. She is not well. She is not okay. And so it will always be ammunition to attack me with. And what she wants from this is me somehow to want to get closer to the family, which is just fucking bananas. Like, that's crazy. It's psychotic. But in the world of codependency, it makes sense to her. She thinks that if she can tell me this, she can change me to be that kid that I used to be. And I'm really glad I stood up and said, I'm like, Mom, I'm not that kid anymore. I'm an adult now. And she's like, of course I know you're a fucking adult. I'm like, well, I have to say it because you're not getting it. And it's kind of like, what's the point of fighting back? And what's the point of getting my point? It's what I learned as a kid, that my opinions and my emotions don't matter about it. To try and tell her, I'm like, she's like, you called me a narcissist and a sociopath and delusional. I said, no, you are acting like a sociopath. You are acting delusional, which is different. But what do we do with narcissists in our life? Like, these boundaries that we set just feel awful. It's just gut-wrenching to have to walk around the yard with my dog on a leash and just hear it from her just nonstop, and to try and fight. But also, I know in recovery that like acceptance is the answer. So like trying to come to a place that's okay, that she's not going to get it. And I told her that I'm like, I don't think we're going to agree. She's like, I don't know when I'll ever see you again in life. I don't think you like me. I don't think you want to be a part of this family. And it's really hard because a lot of that is true. And I don't know how to be okay with the fact that that is how I feel, because I don't want anything to do with the dysfunction. And part of me takes, I have this Uncle Jay who like moved away to like North Carolina when everyone else is on the West Coast. And he was like the black sheep of the family. Like, no one talked to him. He wasn't a Christian. He was just like a cool atheist kind of guy. And I have found out the reason I love him so much is because he did get the fuck out of the family. Because you can't fight the dysfunction. All you can do is save yourself. And that sucks and it hurts. But I'm trying to figure out if I'm okay with doing that, which I am, because I am going to save myself. I am not going to lay my life down for this family because it is not doing the same for me. And it doesn't have my best interest at heart. I do. My higher power does. My community here does. My friends who I know that love me, truly love me, like unconditional love, because I was taught that unconditional love just means love with a lot of conditions. And I'm finding out today that it's very different from that. It's just very hard. And I'm really glad I also use the tools of the program, and I just needed to get to tonight to be able to talk about it here because of how specific this adult child stuff is. And part of me keeps wanting to other myself that I don't belong here because my parents aren't alcoholics, but they're dysfunctional evangelicals, which is just a different end of the same fucked up spectrum. So like, I know I belong here, and I don't know why I want to other myself, but I'm going to claim my seat that I do belong here. And I appreciate coming here week after week and talking about this with people who get it, because I know you guys get it. And I wish you had answers for me. I wish there was an answer to be had for this, but the answer is to just get through it one day at a time. And I hate that, and it sucks because it hurts, but here we are. And I'm glad I was able to push through it and then set it aside. And I went to a friend's house and we had a great Christmas dinner, and we had a great time with his family and extended family. And it was like a sense of normalcy for like 2 hours sitting on the couch, just like talking and having fun. And I'm like, is this what Christmas is like for other people? Because it was great and it was fun and I liked it. And I'm like, I'm going to choose to hold on to this today because this was fun and this fed my soul. And I talked to my two best gay buddies that are like my cohort, my best friend. I have a hard time saying best friends because I feel like that's really intimate and I'm afraid of that, but they're like my best friends. And we just talked for like 2 hours into the night and it was great. And it was so much fun. And I couldn't have done that without recovery. So I'm just glad to be here. Thanks for listening to this shit show that I have of a life, and glad we're all here doing it together.
I think that more people come from non-alcoholic homes in this community than alcoholic. I think it's at least 50-50.
So my Christmas was actually really good. I went to my one of my best friend's houses, and it was just me, him, and his mom, and we just chilled and watched movies, and it was great. I was reflecting on how far I've come in kind of this holiday season over the years. I spent some Christmases alone when I was younger, and spent a Christmas in the hospital a couple of years ago. And so this time of year has a lot of like trauma attached to it and a lot of bad memories. And this year I was really thankful to have a place to go, but I also felt like if I didn't, I would be okay. Like I felt really like at peace with this time of year mostly. And I felt just really, really a lot of gratitude for how far I've come and having close friendships that I can count on. And so that was really, really meaningful. I've also made some inroads with my cousin, who is like, we were born like a month apart, and we grew up together partially and have a lot in common. Both of our families were extremely dysfunctional. And I actually lived with her for a moment when I was like 10, 11, 12, which is a whole nother trauma. But like, she's like one of the few people that I know, like knows the extent to what we went through, because she was there at least part of the time. And when I cut off ties with my family, when I was, you know, in college, I kind of lumped her in with my family and kept my distance for a long time. And I've reached out and we have been chatting and sending her a Christmas card. And it just feels really nice to have those relationships. I don't think that we're ever going to be like best friends, but it is just a sign of healing for myself that like I feel safe enough with her to have at least some relationship, even though I'm triggered by all of my family and triggered that these things happened with them around. And that feels good. She also mentioned that my grandmother, who raised me, has like a biopsy coming up after the first of the year for potential breast cancer. And I am no contact with her, and I haven't talked to her in any meaningful way since like 2020, really. And so I'm not feeling a whole lot right now around that. I'm sure the grief will come, and I also like don't know a whole lot, but it's just something that I'm trying to be gentle with myself about, because I know there will be some feelings that I'm probably dissociating from right now, but they will probably come up eventually. And just trying to make my parts aware that you know, I've got their back, and whatever happens, I'm going to do my best to make it a good experience and heal the past where I can. And anyway, yeah, thanks for being here.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Definitely want to say thank you to everybody that shared and the vulnerability that everybody showed, which gives me the courage to speak up when I'm struggling myself. And a lot of talk about the inner child tonight, which really makes me realize how sad mine is right now. My Christmas was a bit of a two-sided coin as well. I went to my girlfriend's family on Christmas Eve, and it was a blast. A lot of happiness, a lot of joy, kids. And the fucked up thing is that's the drinking side. Everybody's drunk except me and my girlfriend and the kids, basically. Just completely wasted, but I'm still able to stay present, have a good time, play some Monopoly with the kids, play some games. But yesterday was going over to my family's, over to my mom's house, and I could rattle off probably 10 different things that set me off, but the end result is I shut down, I froze, and to the point of fucking collapse, where I passed out on the couch because I couldn't take the dysfunction. Sarcasm, manipulation, whispering about other family members behind their backs. I mean, my fucking hypervigilance is so strong that that's one thing that I can pick up is all this shit going on. And I know when I shared something last week that is really confusing the shit out of me right now, but I'm going to talk about it, which is I've spent the last couple months realizing how angry that I've been at my family. Avoided them. I've blocked phone numbers, blocked social media. And I've noticed now after yesterday what the difference is between having compassion for somebody, having forgiveness for somebody, and having pity for somebody. And that's one of the traits I've noticed, which is confusing love and pity. And I realize now that I've fallen back into pitying my family and thinking that it's love again. And thank God for two things today. I have a preset therapy appointment at 5 p.m. on Thursdays, and Christmas fell on a Wednesday. So I was able to talk through a lot of shit at 5 o'clock Central Time, so not just a couple hours ago. And then coming on here and being able to talk with you people and listen to you people, and then not feel so alone anymore. I feel like I'm just now starting to come out of the fog that I put myself back into. And as sad as it is for that kid inside me to say this, it's just that's not my family. Those are people that share the same blood as me, and we happen to live under the same roof for a few years. But I can't use the word family to describe those people anymore. It's nothing but manipulation, hatred, judgmentalness. And the more I put myself around it, the more I fall right back into it. And there's not enough left in this life to continue to go through that cycle, because there's just way too much pain that gets introduced back into the body every time I expose myself to it. And I've got another 11-year-old child that doesn't deserve to grow up like that. The last thing I'll say that came up at my therapy tonight was my therapist, after telling her I haven't really been doing much for the past 6 months, asked me about some values that I have in my life, and she handed me a sheet of a bunch of words and to circle the top things that I value, and I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it because it was just me. I wasn't deciding for my girlfriend, I wasn't deciding for my daughter, I wasn't deciding for people at work. It was just me sitting there, and I couldn't even answer what was important to me in my life. And we came to the conclusion that that's what happens when you go these past, whatever, 6 months, I'll say, with doing nothing but abandoning myself over and over and over and over and over and over again, I'm left being the only one that is suffering through this pain and loneliness and betrayal of myself. And the irony is, I was doing that to feel connection. I was abandoning myself to try to connect with other people. And the end result is I'm still not connected with those people and I've lost connection with myself. So moving forward, my number one goal, starting now for the rest of my life, is to not abandon myself as my number one priority. And that's all thanks to my gratitude for yesterday. Is this Christmas was another rock bottom for me, and I'm looking forward to the climb back up. That's all I got. Thanks for listening.
We just keep on rocking. Keep on rotting, baby.
Christmas with my kids was wonderful, and Christmas in every other aspect just totally fucking sucked. And this morning, my mother-in-law gave me a card before we left the house, her house. And guys, it is 6 pages plus a card full of scribbly ramblings. And just my brain hurts from reading it. And I've got questions to ask my mother-in-law, because I don't understand what, anytime she like reaches out to us with handwritten words, it is a lot of rambling. And it's always addressed to both of us. And I just really struggle with understanding who the words are meant for. Like one of the things she wrote was, you know, I remember being stubborn and saying to myself that I wouldn't say sorry to my husband first. And I just wonder, are those words meant for me? Because I said sorry for things that I didn't need to be sorry for our whole relationship. And until it came to, you know, like undeniable situation, like, so I guess since it came to a terrible situation, like I refused to accept the misery. And I'm not going to say sorry for things that I'm not, that are not my business to say sorry for. And another thing that she commented on was how her and her husband would always find a way to mend the hurts. And it just fucking hurts, because we are not able to mend our hurts. Any kind of mending was me just pretzeling myself into forging a mend. That wasn't actually a mend. It was just like me deciding that I didn't have the strength to continue arguing about it. And I would just pretend that it didn't bother me anymore. And the last one, or second to last one, most notable, children do need both parents. And I just am like, but if we divorce, our children still have both parents. So like, I'm quite not quite sure what she's going for there. And, you know, the last words were that we need to try to save our marriage. And this is where I just, like, the whole letter just feels like a waste of the last hour and a half for me. Of like, I have spent, since we got married in 2017, it has just been me trying to save us. And then when my daughter was born in 2019, just me trying to keep her and I alive. And also, you know, in my spare time, try to save my marriage. And then since my son came along, like, I can't try to save my marriage anymore. I just don't know what else to do. Someone else needs to also be doing work that is refusing to do it. And it just feels like these letters just feel so tone deaf to me, of like, these things have come up over and over again for us, like my husband and I, And she's been privy to a decent amount of it over the years. But addressing this to both of us isn't helpful because it makes me feel like I should be doing more. But that, it just feels really like not actually the truth. But it also allows my husband to keep blaming shit on me, which I feel like he would just do anyway, whether or not these letters existed. But I don't know. I'm really running out of steam here. And I'm really tired of everyone talking to me about what I could try differently or what I could do more of. And like, whenever someone mentions like their desire to separate from a partner or get divorced, it's not like a rash decision. Like so much has gone into that. And like, that's not when you jump in and say like, oh, have you tried writing that down so you don't forget? Or, you know, just the dumb shit people suggest when you're like talking about like a really significant struggle. And like, none of it's actually helpful because you've already exhausted all of the possibilities to the best of your ability. And I'm really tired of fielding all of these ramblings and conversations, because for the first time in a really long time, maybe ever, I'm not saying sorry and compromising my own self. Like, I'm just refusing to do that. And I feel like this has just also been just a really long ramble, but I'm just fucking tired. I'm so tired of all of this. I'm tired of asking myself on paper how Christmas was or how something was and having like 3 positive bullet points and a whole slew of negative ones. And I'm just tired of living this life where I feel just so miserable.
You're doing it, girl. You should be very proud of yourself. So we're having a shit show social on Saturday. We're gonna play some games, who knows what else. So come have fun.
Thanks for being here. Love you. Come again.
All right, Shisha, so let's see if any of these apply to you, okay? You've done the therapy, you've read the books, but you have yet to dip your toe into the somatic healing pond. You still find yourself having reactions that are out of proportion to the situation at hand. You live in a constant low-grade state of hypervigilance, like you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Or you're on the opposite end, you're checked out, disconnected, floating through life like your head is a completely separate entity from the rest of your body. You live in chronic tension, your shoulders are up to your ears like mine, or your jaws clenched, hips tight, lower back pain, or you deal with digestive issues, or you're constantly tired in a way that sleep just doesn't seem to fix. And last but not least, you're craving a place to heal with other cool people where you can just show up as your whole messy self and be accepted for it. So if any of those applied to you, and let's get real, shit shows, at least one of those applied to you, it's time that you sign the hell up or breathe to heal. The 7-week journey kicks off on Tuesday, January 13th. It's led by Teresa, fellow shit show member and somatic and breathwork practitioner, and it combines the 3 modalities that literally helped me thaw out of functional freeze and start moving my life in the direction I actually wanted. Breath work, somatic practices, and parts work. This is a steal compared to other somatic programs out there with 2 and 3 month payment options to make it more accessible. So you, let's do the damn thing already. Head to adultchildpodcast.com/breathe to heal. That is breathe with an E at the end, adultchildpodcast.com/breathe to heal to get your damn spot and thank me later.